Father, we thank you for this honor and this privilege of being gathered in your house this morning. Now, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We're asking Holy Spirit now just take charge of the service here to fro, Father God. We're asking God your anointing upon Pastor Paul Wren as he brings the message here this morning, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for this servant that you've brought into our presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. For those of you that don't know, but I'm sure most of you do because you know Pastor Paul and his lovely wife, Barbara, welcome. From Tennessee, right? That's a good place to be from. It's a good place to go back to, too, isn't it? Welcome. Like I say, welcome. Pastor Bob is out this week also, so he'll be back in pocket next week. Sister Shirley is progressing fairly well, I think. She's doing real well. She's walking around with a walker now, and she can hold to my thumb, and I can lead her around and walk her around, and she does pretty good. So keep her in prayer until we're through all of this. Do you have anything you want to give to the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Well, stand up.
All right.
If you would, come on, bring up your offering. Aletha, would you pray for the offering and for those in the prayer box?
Father, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings and benefits that you load us up with daily. Too many to name, Lord, but we're so thankful. And if you never did another thing for us, you've done way more than enough. We thank you that we get to come to church today and be in your house with your people, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads and guides and directs us, Father, every day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness toward us, Father, and your love that's everlasting. I thank you, Lord, for this offering that's been given today. We bless it in the name of Jesus and ask you, Father, to use it to further your kingdom. That's all we can say, Father, that we know that we are cheerful givers and that we want to expand your kingdom wherever we go. Help us to be that light in other people's lives when they see us coming. They know that something's different, and it's you, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that anointing upon each of us and upon this church, this body of believers, Lord. We thank you, Father, now for the requests that have been placed in this little box. No telling how many there are in there now, Lord. It's been years. We thank you, Father, that you bless each request, each person, as they've placed their faith in you, as they place the request in the box. We thank you, Lord, for your healing touch on those who need healing. And for every other need in their lives, the most important being salvation. For those that don't know you or those that are related to these requests that need you in their lives, Father, we ask you to touch them now. Let them see their need and feel their need for you, Lord God. That you put your arms around them. Help them to feel your mighty presence in their lives. We thank you, Father, again, for all your blessings. We thank you for this memorial weekend where we remember those who have given their lives the ultimate sacrifice for those of us who enjoy our everyday freedoms in this wonderful nation. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
For those of you, I know you know Pastor Paul Wren and his wife Barbara, but there's a strong man in our midst.
Amen.
A power lifter of the world. You've been voted what? The national strong man of and the world in nation and world?
I've been 29 world championships and 33 national championships.
Well, for those of you, 29 world championships, 33 national championships. You don't get no better than that. Pastor Paul, would you come for us, please?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Brother James.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, if you have a Bible, you might want to turn to Psalm 118. And as you're turning, I want to say what an honor it is to be back here at Challenge. All of you know, I guess, that Challenge supports us. We get a check every month of the world from Challenge. And that's a blessing, because when you're in the kind of ministry I'm in, your income is up and down. So it's good to have regular supporters that you can depend on, because I'll tell you something, ministry costs money. And it does. That's why it's important to give to your local assembly, that it can accomplish what it's supposed to do. I had a missions conference last week at Living Faith Church. That's the church that the director of our mission board is the pastor of, and he asked us to come down, present our work, and we did, had a good time. And they, the ladies of the church, fixed a big meal. And I say, glory. It was fine eating. But since we were going to be in Jacksonville anyway, I talked to Brother Bob, and he said, come on down. So next month I'll be in St. Cloud, Florida, preaching, and then July, I defend my national title in the American Drug-Free Powerlifting. So things are moving along pretty good. But now in Psalm 118, we're actually going to look at one verse, and that's verse 14. Now, it's interesting, if you read through your Bible, this verse is repeated almost word for word in Isaiah 12:2 and in Exodus 15:2. We find this particular thought given. And it starts off, the Lord. Notice, in your Bible, Lord is capitalized. It's talking about the sovereign God, the great God of the universe, and the Lord, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Want to brag on him a little bit before we look at the rest of this verse. First of all, he's an all-knowing God. Theologians call that omniscience. It means God knows the end from the beginning. If you're interested in that statement, it's Isaiah 46:17. You see, nothing takes God by surprise. He knows exactly everything that's going to happen. And because he knows, his will is best. Do you have a tendency sometimes when you don't like the way the Lord is leading to kind of rebel against the will of God? Well, don't do that, because God's will is a perfect will. I don't know, I might have used this illustration before, but it's a good one. Sometimes we pray, and we pray amiss, James says. I remember when I was a young man, about the time I graduated from college, I liked this girl. And I thought, she might be the one. So I prayed. I said, Lord, let this be the one. But fortunately, she wasn't. Now, it kind of hurt my feelings at the time. But then I got drafted And after boot camp, they sent me over to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, in office with a bunch of civilians. The manager of that office loved Jesus. I mean, she had witnessed everybody because it was supply company. When guys needed supplies for their unit, they had to come in and talk to her, and she'd be telling them about Jesus. And these old rough, tough, airborne sergeants would be screeching and shrinking as she witnessed to them. But she said, "Ren, come over and visit my church." So I hitchhiked in the town, didn't have a car, made, I think, $80 a month back then. Then started going to the Gracie Avenue Baptist Church, but one of the fringe benefits, Barbara, was a member of that church. And before I knew it, I was in love. I'm so glad God didn't answer my prayer for that woman that I met before. She turned out to be a shrew, run off, I think, about three husbands the last I heard, and I got Barbara. Amen. So God's will is the best. Yes, and by the way, if she don't kill me before August 1st, we'll be married 55 years. So what a blessing. The point I want to make, trust God. Believe Him and follow His will. But also, the Lord is with us all the time. He says, let's look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, let's see, verses 7 through 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the innermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That says God is everywhere. They call it omnipresent, the theologians do. That means wherever you're at, God is there. And that gives us some important things to think about. First of all, we're never alone. Amen. You know, there's an old gospel song that says, "No, never alone. No, never alone. He has promised never to leave me, to never leave me alone." So God is always there, everywhere you go. But because He's there, He knows everything we do. Amen. That ought to cause us to be accountable. Yes, and be careful that we don't displease Him with our life. So the Lord is there. But also, He's all-powerful. The theologians call that omnipotent. Remember, by a simple word, God created the whole universe. You know, scientists have made these tremendously powerful telescopes, and they say there are millions and billions of stars out there, and they were all created by our God, because He has all power. But understand something about God. He said in Malachi 3:6, He said, "I do not change. He is the same. And because He's the same, and He's all powerful, we can depend on Him. But now let's look at the verse. Now that's talking about the Lord that we're talking about. That's our Lord. And if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is your Lord. Notice it says, the Lord is my strength and salvation, song and salvation. But I'm going to get it around a little different. I want to talk about salvation first. Because for us, experimentally, salvation is the basic. Because you don't have a relationship with God without salvation. Amen. And we see that salvation, the whole Trinity is involved in it. First of all, God the Father. A lot of people think God is mad at us. God's out to get us. But Jesus interceded and calmed God down so we could be at sin. But I want you to understand, God so loved the world that He gave. You say, God the Father planned salvation. And He said, I'm going to send my Son to be the Savior. Now, look in Ephesians and chapter number 2, beginning with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen? Verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, that is forever and ever, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you see that? For all eternity, we're going to brag on the grace of God because He has made us worthy of heaven. But the Son, our Savior, executed salvation. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, this is the gospel that I delivered unto you. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ saves. And he said, this is the gospel. Christ died for our sin. I like that word for, because in the original language, it's a word that means substitution. Jesus Christ took our place. The death that we deserve. What did God say to Adam? In the day you eat of that tree and you disobey me, ye shall surely die. And the scripture says the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ took that death upon Himself and He died for us. And according to the scripture, and so Jesus Christ has paid the price, paid it in full. I like what He said when He died. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. That is, the payment was made, the ransom price to deliver us from the slave market of sin was paid in full. And now we're free in Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit applies what's happened to us. Because the scripture tells us the natural man. Who is the natural man? Just a plain, ordinary, unsaved person. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Now, how many of you, the first time you heard the gospel, you thought, that don't make any sense to me? Some of you like that. But then the Holy Spirit applied the truth to your heart. And you saw yourself that you needed a Savior. That was the Holy Spirit opening up your eyes so that you can see that you need a Savior. So first of all, God is our salvation. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Yes. Because without salvation, none of these other things would be possible. This is a fringe benefit of salvation. It says, he is our strength. Now, I have lifted weights, I hate to admit this, 63 years. The only long breaks I've had is boot camp in the Army, and I didn't have the time, the energy, or the inclination to work out then. And then some of our trips to the Philippines, which we went again this year, my 29th trip over there. But Lord willing, we've already talked to our director and the director of the Philippines. Lord willing, we're going back in January for trip number 30. And I'll mention that here. But you see, strength. Understand, without the power of God in our life, we're hopeless. We're helpless. And Jesus even said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, you can make a lot of noise. You can expend a lot of effort. But if the Holy Spirit and the power of God's not in it, it won't accomplish diddly squat. So we need God's power. And listen, God's promise, James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift, that's talking about all everything we need, but specifically with this message, the power we need, it comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable of turning. Our sufficiency is in the Lord. Acts 1:8, the apostles were told, you wait, you tarry. Don't go out and start ministering yet. Because he said, in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he said, you wait till you get God's power. Now, we live in a different dispensation today. When a person gets saved, they get indwelled with the Spirit of God. What? Know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the scripture says. He is there. That means our power is available. The problem is a lot of times we don't tap into it. And we try to go about our very way in our own strength. Folks, that's disaster. Because we're not going to accomplish what God wants us to do without his strength. Don't try to serve him. Don't try to live for him in your own strength. You're going to fail. Some people say life is hard. It is in the flesh. But when you have the power of God resting on your life, you can be glad. You say, Ephesians 6:10 said, be strong in the Lord. You know, spiritual strength is a lot more important than physical strength. Because physical strength is going to fizzle. You know, I set records in my age group, but compared to what I lifted 40 years ago, it's a joke. But it's a record for the decrepit old guys. So, but what happens? Your physical strength goes down as you get older. It's part of the curse. And someday, if Jesus don't come real soon, all of us are going to die. Amen. But spiritual strength, even though you might be infirm in body, you can be strong in the Lord and accomplish great things for Him. And so, don't try to live in the flesh. You won't make it. When the temptations come, that's going to be it. Now, walk in the Spirit. The Scripture says in Galatians, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How? Only if you have the Spirit's power working in your life. And then it says, God is our salt. I think he's talking about joy. You know, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, I see a lot of Christians creeping around, and they look absolutely miserable. And I guess sometimes I get focused and concentrating on what I do. I might look a little cantankerous. But we ought to have joy in our life because of what the Lord has done for us. Amen. And the privilege that we have to serve Him. Can you imagine an all-powerful God picks folks like you and me to accomplish His ministry? And by the way, we're all His ministers. Listen, when you get saved, you get at least one spiritual gift. What are you supposed to do? Brag on it? No, you're supposed to use it for the glory of God and the outworking of His kingdom. So we ought to have joy, be delighted because we're a child of God. We ought to rejoice because we're going to heaven someday. You know, I was talking earlier before the service. As we get older, our bodies betray us. Now, some of you middle-aged folks can't identify with this, but Gene back there and his wife, you know, your body starts giving death. But we can rejoice because we have promise of a better place. Amen. And I shared one of my favorite verses as I get older is Revelation 21:4. You know what it says? It's talking about the eternal state. It says, no more sickness, no more pain. And after all these years of lifting, I experience some pain. And I like that verse because the time's coming. All that pain will be gone. But you know, Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. You ought to consider it a privilege that you get to serve God. Amen. That you have an opportunity to represent God, because what does the Bible say? We are ambassadors of Christ. The ambassador is a representative of a sovereign. We're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And we ought to serve Him with joy.
Amen.
Because it's such a privilege to serve God. So we'll also see Psalm 118. Look at verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's given us another day.
Amen.
Now, listen, I'm old-fashioned and biblicist enough to believe that our lifespan is in the hand of the Lord. Now, I think you can affect the quality of your life by your lifestyle. I see a lot of people my age can't hardly walk across a room. Lifestyle. You know, my dad didn't live as long as I did. But he was unsaved. He made a profession of faith a couple of weeks before he died. But for years, heavy alcoholic, smoker. And when it came down, the end of his life, he was in bad, bad shape. I got over in North Carolina for his funeral, and a pastor told me that a local pastor in the area that my dad had confidence in had came to the hospital, shared the gospel with him, and he made a profession of faith there. But his body was a wreck because of his lifestyle. I think from all the years of training, at least I can get around pretty good. And I want to keep that up. But listen, our life is in God's hand.
Yes.
And therefore, we ought to use what we have for the glory of God. Now, in closing this up, I think some of you folks like my preaching because it's not real long. But I find out you say a whole lot in a little bit of time if you work on it. He is Lord.
Yes, sir.
He is. Notice capital L-O-R-D. He's the Lord. But my question to you, is He Lord of your life? Have you surrendered your very all to Him? Have you said, as I say sometimes, Lord, here's my body, here's my mind, here's my talents, all that I have, I give it to You. You do what You want to. Now, some people be scared to think of that. What might God lead me to do? But remember what I said early in the message. God's will is the best. I've heard people say, I won't surrender fully to God. God might send me to the jungles. Well, I've been in the jungles. Loved it. I've been to Kenya, Uganda, Philippines, Thailand. Loved it. Why? Because I was in the center of God's will.
Amen.
Don't miss God's will because you're timid. Yield to Him. Make Him Lord of your life. Again, there's an old song that we used to sing. And the song says, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Are you at that point today? Is Jesus and God the Father Lord of your life? Are you like Samuel? I just recently read that story again in my Bible over here. Samuel was a young man laying in bed. Voice called him. He thought it was Eli. run over there, Eli, said, go back in bed, man. Leave me alone. I'm sleeping. Happened again. He goes back in there. Eli said, no, no. Third time, Eli says, wait a minute, I think God's trying to talk to that young man. So when he asked again, he said, you go back, and when you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And that's the kind of attitude that we ought to have. Lord, you speak to me. And most of the time today, he speaks through his word. But when he speaks, have the attitude, your servant is hearing. Make sure he's Lord of your life. Let's pray. Now, his heads are bowed. Perhaps there's somebody here that would say, that message today was for me. And you'd say, I need to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. And as I pray, I challenge you, lift your heart to God and tell him, be my Lord. I yield myself to you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to hearts. Give encouragement, blessing, and challenge to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Gene.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord and hear a word from a man of God who's been there, lived it, walks it, and talks it. Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Yes, sir.
A great message that we can all take and build from. And remember, always lift Brother Paul, Sister Barbara up in your prayers, your daily prayers. Lift them up. They need prayer as well as your pastors need prayer. So keep us lifted up in prayer. Would you stand with me? Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for this message. Thank you for Pastor Paul and his wife Barbara, Lord, for their service. Thank you, Lord. And Father God, I'm asking God that you continue blessing this man way up into the years, Father God.
Amen.
Lord, keep him strong, keep him healthy. Keep his wife strong and healthy as they minister together, Father God. Bless them in their spirit, their soul, their minds, their bodies, Father God. And Lord, our source of strength comes from you. And Lord, I know that your word says that just being in your word is strength to the body. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your servant, Paul Wren, who came here today. And we ask, Father God, to continue your blessings upon him. Bless these people, Father God, who heard it. And Father God, we thank you and honor you and glorify you for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you ever will do. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. All of God's people said, amen and amen.